Thank you. I will drink until next morning.
Hour number two of The Blitz is live on Fan Run Radio, Fox Sports Knoxville, broadcasting live from the Truly Hard Seltzer Studios of Fan Run Radio. Podcast is uploaded moments after the show goes off the air, in case you might have missed anything from the previous hour. The Periscope live video feed is up right now on our Facebook and Twitter accounts, which you can search and find by Fox Sports Knoxville. That is the account for both. And go ahead and download the Fan Run Radio app, as well as check out fanrunradio.com. There you can find all the good information on the shows, on the station. You can find all your best content and coverage, all that and more, the Fan Run Radio app, as well as fanrunradio.com. But of course, you already knew that. We got a great listening base. You already knew that, and if maybe you're listening for the first time, now you know. Now you know. So, spent a lot of the first hour talking about NFL basketball, about Tennessee basketball.
That would be something.
Because that's a real thing that they do, Tennessee basketball. And yes, we looked ahead to the Auburn game tomorrow, but the majority of the first hour was kind of a conversation spent around what you as a fan, right, as nothing more than a fan, what is your outlook towards the final five games of the season? So that's where we basically spent most of our efforts here in the first hour, bouncing around a couple more sports here as we get kicked off in the second hour. Rick Butler, Brandon Orick, Chance Collins, and, of course, in case you missed earlier, the newest addition to the Blitz. Happy to have this guy along, Charles Collier. And yes.
Hey, it's Collier, by the way.
Collier?
Yeah. It's like you're saying, like, hey, like call your mom, except it's just Collier. And I don't get too fancy with it, you know. Just
dang it.
Keep it simple.
Dang it!
I like the flair.
See, I thought I remembered it.
Charles Collier.
Thought I was just running through it.
Charles Collier sounds kind of fancy.
Sounds kind of French.
It does.
Yeah,
I don't like the French.
Charles Collier could be.
You don't like the French.
Like the French touch on the name. I like the French people.
I think he doesn't like the French. Look, Brandon doesn't like
you
the Canadians.
What, you know what?
Charlie doesn't like the French.
You know what the Canadians speak?
French.
French.
Whoa! We got an anti-Northman policy right now.
Maybe.
Wow.
Charles Collier sounds like he could be doing your taxes.
Charles Collier looks like he's solving a murder that was done using a candlestick.
It's like Wes from Fox Sports, Charles Collier.
Oh, R.I.P. Wes from Fox Sports. Holly! Anyways. So let's see, bouncing around a couple other sports here as we start off the second hour. So yesterday, we talked a little bit about how a new collective bargaining agreement has been proposed in the NFL with a lot of different changes, specifically to the season schedule and the playoff schedule. If you remember correctly, the preseason would be reduced from 4 to 3. The regular season would be increased from 16 games to 17 games, and then the playoffs would have one team added in, so it would now be a 7-team playoff instead of 6 for both conferences. But instead of having the two top overall teams having bye weeks, it would now only be the one overall top seed receiving a bye week in the NFL playoffs. So this all kind of comes down the pipeline early yesterday morning, kind of late that night, and we talk about it yesterday. We get into it. And then after we got off the show, it had been announced that NFL owners on Thursday accepted the negotiated terms of a new proposed collective bargaining agreement, sending the vote to the players ahead of a potential agreement between the sides. So all 32 owners were in New York City yesterday meeting for this proposal. They all signed off on it. But now it heads to the NFL Players Association. And we were speculating yesterday that, you know, hey, this seems like, yeah, the owners are going to love it. The owners are probably going to unanimously pass this. But we all had hesitations that the players would, because it seems like, you know, well, what are the players really getting here? Besides maybe, you know, obviously an extra playoff spot potentially for two out of the 32 teams. What are they really getting? So we figure out yesterday that an NFL Players Association memo had been sent to the league, and that there were, there were five specific key terms that players' representatives and the union's executive council will be weighing when they meet.
Key terms. Takes me back to school.
Yes, it does, right?
You get your key terms.
Yep, you'd have all the phrases on the left side usually, and those are, you know, you're filling the blank.
You got to learn the key terms. You got to memorize the key terms.
If you don't know the key terms, what are you even doing?
Probably failing.
Definitely failing. Let me tell you, I didn't know keywords a lot of the times. I can tell you that's true by experience.
Keywords also huge with SEO.
That's right.
Know what SEO stands for?
Absolutely not.
Come on, Big J journalist. Brandon, you know what SEO stands for.
Yeah.
Hey, well,
Googling your fingers. He's Googling search engine optimization.
It's the Shanghai Cooperation Organization.
No. SEO, search engine optimization.
Oh, Big J journalist.
S-E-O or yeah. S-C-O?
I said S-E-O.
No, you said S-C-O.
Yeah,
no,
you did.
No, I said S-E-O.
Then why do you think I Googled S-C-O?
I don't know why you did that.
You said S-C-O.
I said S-E-O because you were talking about keywords. Keywords. That was the play.
Maybe you said C.
We can rewind the tape later.
So anyway.
That's why we have a podcast.
Maybe a C, maybe an E. I don't know. Either way.
I would have got it if I would have known it was an E. First thing that pops up.
Oh. No, yeah. All right, so Google would have told him the correct answer.
You would have Googled it, okay.
So I want to go through the five of the key terms that the NFL Players Association basically sent back. And Chance, you nailed it yesterday. You talked about how you know, you believe that one of the big things that the NFLPA was going to send back to the league was going to revolve around marijuana. Right, and the use and the testing.
You got to give something if you want something.
Exactly, it's give and take. So that is what the first two key points relates to. The first one is the elimination of any game suspension strictly for positive marijuana tests. So they're basically saying, hey, we get tested all the time. Some players obviously getting tested more than others. Doesn't matter. We do not want a positive test to restrict our ability to play on the field.
So Josh Gordon could make a comeback.
Second key point, a reduction in the number of players subjected to testing for marijuana, right? So they're basically going through and saying, hey, not only do we want, you know, all the suspensions gone, you know, we need the number of players to be, the number of players subjected to tests. We need that to lower tenfold. We need that to go way down. So those are kind of two of the main points. And it really is kind of a conversation where you've seen the NFL really kind of lacking as opposed to other sports, right? The NFL is kind of just one of the few American sports leagues that have just said, no, none of it. It will always be tested for. It will always be a suspension, so on and so forth. And Chance, you were right. You got to give. You got to take. And this is kind of, it seems to be one of the big things that the players want.
Yeah, I mean, just for them putting their body on the line, one more plus game a year. I mean, there's going to be some guys that strictly do not want to do this. I know Richard Sherman came out on it, Leonard Fournette yesterday. But if you want the players to do that, a lot of the players who like to medicate medicinally with marijuana, hey, all right, maybe we can do this now. Maybe there's not going to be any, you know, any punishment for me trying to, you know, medicate myself with marijuana. They're thinking, well, maybe this one extra game is not too bad. Like I said, the biggest thing was it's all about money for the owners. That extra game is going to bring in a lot more money. This new playoff format, just an extra regular season game. It's more people in the seats for one more game on the schedule. And what you said yesterday, By taking away the last preseason game, which starters don't ever play anyways, you're just adding, you're having three preseason games, yeah. which the starters aren't just going to play that third preseason game. They're just only going to play two or maybe just one. Hell, you may see starters just sit out preseason altogether now if it only be in three games. So it's not really benefiting them on the front end, so you have to do something like this. And there's a lot of players who would rather medicate medicinally than be like, run the risk of getting hooked on opioids and everything else. We hear about it, like talked about in college when they're getting addicted, more or less when they go to the league, when they have countless doctors around. So, yeah, so I'm not surprised that they asked for that in return. I think that they want probably more revenue share, too.
I'm trying to do the math in my head right now, and I think I got it down. So if you were a wild card team playing in this format and you made it all the way to the Super Bowl, you would potentially be playing 21 NFL games yep. in a season, which Wait. Is a ton. But well, if you got the 17, right? I counted four playoff games to get, you know, into the Super Bowl. Or the Super Bowl is that fourth. I think that's correct.
Yeah, you're right. 21 games. So if you're a wild card team.
That's a ton. And you know, and you're right, Chance. Some of the players are speaking out against this. J.J. Watt went to Twitter and said, hard no on the proposed CBA.
Oh, shut up, JJ. Sit down. You get hurt every year. Sit your ass down. Sit your ass down.
You're not playing a full 17.
You don't get this. You don't get to speak for anybody, JJ Watt. You never play a full 16 games. Hell, sometimes you don't even play a full 10 games. Like, so you sit your ass down. But, I mean, yeah, I mean, I there's going to be a lot of players that are not happy about it.
So three more of the proposed key terms to this. The third one is gambling definitions that ensure players receive a portion of gambling revenue brought in by the league. So, you know, I guess the player's saying, hey, if people are going to bet ridiculous amounts of money on the game, shouldn't, you know, we as the players, we who they're betting on, you know, shouldn't we be a part of the revenue that's brought in from it? The fourth one is alterations to training camp, including the introduction to a 5-day acclimation period, a limit of 16 days in pads, and a limit of 4 joint practices in a 3 preseason game scenario. And then finally, an increase in the active squad by 1 offensive lineman. So, Brandon, out of all of these, right, you got the two ones about the usage of marijuana in the league. You have one about kind of gambling definitions, one about the preseason scenario. Which one of those to you do you think has the biggest impact from the NFLPA side of things?
As far as the players, I think it's like Chance said. I think it's probably the use of marijuana. I mean, that's kind of, you've seen that kind of become a bigger issue. As
I think
far
that
as players
that and also like let's start talking about the gambling. Like players aren't stupid. This gambling thing is gonna explode eventually, and
yes.
like it's gonna start bringing in so much revenue. I think that we'll see the NFL, NBA might be one of the first ones to really, because they started early trying to get in on it quickly. But I think you'll start to see these leagues have their own sportsbook sites. They've partnered up with the FanDuels, the DraftKings, but I think they'll have their own when it gets like full fledged across.
Really?
Well, I think that you could see sports books in like stadiums or such, or even if they have their own websites to bet.
The Wizards and the Capitals, I forget what their whatever arena is called, but they actually are putting in, if it's
they
not
have a
already
book?
There, yeah, a sports book.
That's what I'm saying. I think you could see books.
I did not know that.
I mean, is Vegas going to have one? Or the
I
Vegas,
mean, I would, the I would, be, yeah, I would be surprised if they didn't.
Yeah, the Las Vegas Raiders
they
are
have to.
They're going to have a sports book in their stadium. They have
I
to.
Would be surprised if they did
I mean,
not.
As gambling becomes more legalized, you know, nationwide, so many more – the billions of dollars that are bet illegally offshore are going to come into the U.S., and players want to share that money. That's the biggest thing for me.
Because,
yeah, that makes
because
a lot
the
of sense.
League is starting – the league and the NBA, I know, is trying to get out and, like – they're trying to get into the market to where they take that money because so many people are betting on your sport. They feel like, yeah, we should get a percentage of that. So they're going to start like doing websites and things like that. And what you said too, Charles, like it's that is definitely what is happening is that the league, like they see the money coming in. The players see it. So what do you want more if you're a player? Do you want more of the revenue share
Ooh, yeah.
of just what the team is making? Or do you want more on the back end of what's coming too? Do you fight for the players coming after you, or do you fight
yeah,
right
and,
now
and
for
look,
yourself?
Here's what I think, right? If you're the Players Association, you get ahead of this, right? Which is, I think, why this gambling thing is put in, right? Because they don't want gambling to say boom in 2 years But their next proposed collective bargaining agreement isn't for, I don't know what the turnover is, but say, you know, 5 years, right? Because then once that next one comes up, then you're in a way worse position because the NFL already knows all the ins and outs of the gambling system, right? They're going to know exactly how it's working. They're going to know exactly how they can still make the most money. So you get in early, you know, while it still hasn't necessarily boomed yet, you ensure that the players receive a portion of the gambling revenue, and you go on from there. So I think this is smart. And really, when you look at this thing, I mean, we knew that a training camp change was going to come. We know that the players don't like those. The increase the active squad by one offensive lineman, that's whatever. I didn't know that was coming. But the gambling and the marijuana, I think everybody knew that these were two massive topics that at some point the NFL was going to have to address. And we know that the NFL has wanted to change the schedule. We know that they've wanted to change the playoffs for a while now. So now we figure out how badly does the NFL want to make this money that they feel like they know they can make? How badly do they want that 17th game? Are they willing to give up the, you know, two of the biggest things that they've always said no to, that they've always used as kind of their biggest trump card with the players and saying, you know what? You know what? One positive test for marijuana, and man, it's going to be hard to get back. And so are they going to give that up to get the games? We'll have to see. But I think it's going to be really surprising if the NFL does kind of, you know, does kind of accept those requests, because it's just something that would be so uncharacteristic of what we've seen from Roger Goodell and company.
Yeah, here's an article from Bloomberg just from last year. The NBA, actually, what I was talking about, they got in on the gambling thing, at least that Adam Silver, so they want to get on it very quickly. They created a virtual sports betting game called NBA Last 90 in collaboration with the NBA Players Union and UK-based Highlight Games Limited Company. And basically, it splices together random highlights from real NBA games and combines them to where gamblers can predict outcomes, gives them gambler opportunities in the game. So you get dropped into the final 90 seconds of a virtual matchup between, like an example here, Brooklyn Nets, Los Angeles Lakers, and you can you'll wager on things like who will win the game, total number of three-pointers, et cetera, made in the final 90 seconds and combined number of points. Now, they are working on that right now. It hasn't been released to the public or anything, but they jumped on that first as far as, like, gambling and betting goes. So, yeah, like, you're going to see major sports jump in on this stuff, man. There's so much money out there, and players aren't dumb. Players are very smart. They're very smart, and as more money is pumped into the sport, they're becoming even more smart and like researching their options out there. I'd be surprised if they don't ask for a big revenue share of maybe some gambling, what we were just talking about, whether it's revenue shares, and especially the marijuana thing. They have to pass that.
Hey, by the way, the 17th game, how do they decide who gets the extra home game? I haven't seen anything about that.
It's a good question.
That's like the weirdest
thing. Very good
for
question,
me.
Charles.
That's a really interesting. Yeah, that's
I hadn't heard
a great
that one
thought.
Either.
What
is?
And, I don't know. Let's
and
let's
wow,
brainstorm.
you get two extra roster spots.
Well, would it? I mean, just my simple brain.
Sure.
Thinking of how I would solve it. I mean, I guess you would just randomly pick half the teams. And, you get an extra home game this year. The other half, you get an extra home game next year.
Now, they wouldn't do this, but what if they just gave everyone one neutral site game? Like, how that would be kind of cool.
It would be cool, but I wonder.
I mean, it would never happen.
I mean, yeah.
The
like,
revenue,
are
like,
the,
who's going to go?
Are the logistics know? Just
none of it
so
makes
hard
sense,
for that?
But, like, if they just do crazy, like, everyone just
now,
gets, like, one
okay.
weird neutral site game.
I wonder if. Basically, you know, because we all know that the NFL wants to expand internationally, right? We've seen the games in Mexico. We've seen the games played in London. I wonder if, you know, say the Jaguars and the Texans go play a game in London. I wonder if, like, that's kind of used as, you know, the Jaguars' quote-unquote home game for the 17th, right? Like, if they basically just say, you know what, Houston, Jacksonville, you guys are going to London. Otherwise, you're obviously just going to have your regular 8-8 after that.
Well, next year the Jags have two of their eight in London.
Yeah, I saw they were getting an extra home game.
Out of eight.
Huh. I'd be pretty pissed off if I was a Jaguars fan.
They're not going to the games.
I mean, there's those diehard fans out there, and if I find out my team's playing on the other side of the ocean, I would be furious.
Yeah. I mean, Jags are a trash franchise. Just complete garbage.
Hey, that is...
They should just move them over there. Yep. Just move them.
It's one thing that we have not mentioned yet is Brandon and Charlie both have a disdain for the Jaguars. But that is because, look, it's finally happened. I don't even know how many months we've been on the air, but it's finally happened. Man, I'm really happy, though, that... saying this out there. I'm really happy we didn't have one of these during the actual football season. But we now have a Titans fan on the show, Brandon. We now have a proud Tennessee Titans fan. Just so you know, we love to bash. Oh. We love
biggest
to bash.
Titans fan you'll ever meet.
Whoa.
I have not missed a home game in like 12 years, 13 years.
You must be a miserable human.
Oh!
Oh! Whoa.
Are you a big Preds fan too?
Yeah, big Preds fan.
Hey,
you got on the Smashville shirt.
You know who his baseball team is, though? I mean, we already know Brandon's is the Mets. Charlie's is the Washington Nationals.
Actually, World Series champion Washington Nationals.
Excuse me.
This guy.
World Series champion Washington Nationals.
This Charles guy. Huh.
Yeah. Huh. Hey, they cheated. Doesn't matter. Beat him anyway. Use it against him even.
Interesting.
I can see Brandon stirring over here. I can see him stirring. This is Brandon, right? He's gonna wait. He's gonna wait back. He's gonna collect it all.
Are you one of those Titans fans that actually thought they could win the Super Bowl?
I mean, I'm a big optimistic fan of all teams. So
say what you feel.
We were close enough.
Mean what
we were
you say.
We could have won.
Don't be scared, Charles. Don't be scared.
All right, back here on the Blitz, 11:25 a.m. as we are approaching the halfway point of the second hour of the show today. Rick, Brandon, Chance, and Charlie as we go along with the program. Let's see, Brandon, all right, I'm going to give the segment to you next. What would you like to talk about?
Pass
I'm gonna
it
give
to
you,
you.
Two options.
Take that bounce
okay,
pass.
Okay, two options, all right. Here, what do we got?
Number one, we can talk about He Who Shall Not Be Named.
Okay, I feel like we'll have to name him if we talk about him.
That is true. That is true.
Not if you know who he who shall not be named is.
Maybe we can do it just one time quickly. But, yeah, okay, just, what's just the other? What's
and
the other?
Then the other one is a little baseball. Yeah, it will hit. We'll hit both MLB and Tony V Squad.
I want to talk about He Who Shall Not Be Named.
I mean, there's not much to talk. I feel like we could probably get both.
You feel
in
like
this.
We can hit it all in one segment?
Maybe.
Must try it.
Try it.
All right. Let's see.
Butch Jones.
Oh!
What are you doing?
It ripped the Band-Aid
what
off.
What are you
that was
doing?
Smart.
Getting,
that was
getting
smart.
It out of the way.
Just, yeah, that was smart. Now we're all over it. We're all moving it past. Let's see.
Whoa, dude.
So, Butch Jones, here's what we heard last night. It says that Butch Jones is expected to be moving into a different role for Alabama. It sounds like, and this is a real tweet. This comes from Matt Zenitz, he's got the blue check mark.
Yeah, he writes for AL.com.
Yeah, so he knows what he's talking about. I'm just going to read the exact part of his tweet. Quote, sounds like he'll now have the title of special assistant to the head coach.
That's inexcusable.
So end quote.
So he's Dwight Schrute.
Yes. Yeah.
Assistant to the regional manager.
Yes, he is Nick Saban's five-letter word. That, right? Is that what it kind of sounds like?
It is what it is.
clearly.
Not really surprised. Like, Saban,
what do you mean?
Like, you know, as far as like he's the assistant or whatever. Like, he's going to be the assistant to Saban, huh?
Assistant to the special assistant to the head coach.
Yeah, special.
What I'm saying is like as many jokes as we can fire off about Butch, and they're fun. Don't get me wrong. Saban's kept him for a while. Like it's not.
Yeah, he's been the longest there without getting a promotion.
Yeah, he just loves him some Butch, just being his little. You know, right-hand man, like his little personal assistant. And Butch apparently loves it because he gets to work with Nick Saban for not having to have, I guess, like the weight of the program. And also still gets to cash in checks from Tennessee. Let's not forget about that either.
Well,
yeah, still
Alabama, they have not won anything since he's been there.
They have not, so keep him there.
Keep him there. But I say we challenge this. Take him to court. I'm tired of paying him.
Take him to court. Hey, who's we? You going to take him to court?
We, Tennessee.
You want Tennessee to go
lawyer
through the whole
state?
Right.
Lawyer up. Let's Butch do it. Jones versus the state of Tennessee. Do it.
How about we do this? We send a Knoxville representative versus Butch Jones, and we just have a cage match, right? We just have an all-out, a bare-knuckle brawl. We take Butch Jones. I vote our Knoxville representative. It's Mayor Kane. And we just have Mayor Kane versus Butch Jones in a cage match.
Good old cage match.
Look, it's what they did a couple months ago. Remember, there was that thing in Baltimore, and then the mayor, you know, he was like, hey, you know, the streets are too violent. Let's give people a constructive way to get their violence out. Let's set up a boxing ring.
But I'm serious.
Let's have our mayor do that.
I'm being serious here. I think we should go to court. I'm tired of paying this guy. He's not doing his part. He's not trying to get a job.
That is true. It doesn't feel like...
His like, name pops up sometimes.
Like, why are we still paying him?
It pops. His name pops up too much for it to just be like a crazy coincidence that all these schools are like, I think we'll pass. Like, at some point it feels like, dude, are you trying? Are you trying for any of these? Are you having good interviews?
I mean, are we afraid to go to court with him because maybe he knows too much? Does he know too much? That's what I keep seeing on Twitter. Oh, he knows too much. Can't do that. He knows too much.
He knows too much about who? Someone who's not here?
The university.
People aren't here. People aren't here anymore. It's a new regime.
Don't forget, there were some sketchy things that went on. If you'll remember the whole Title IX situation that went on over there under Butch Jones.
Yeah.
You had countless situations. You had the incident with him punching a player, allegedly.
Mm-hmm. Allegedly.
There were some things that happened. Maybe he knows too much. That's what people are saying. I don't care.
I mean, he has like a pretty just relaxed lifestyle with Alabama right now. Just hanging out.
Yeah, he takes
what we're saying, but you can't do that. Like, he just gets his contract.
Players apparently love him. I met a couple like Alabama football players at a music festival. They told me that like he's just hanging out. I don't know if there's truth to this. He like smokes Black and Milds now, which I thought was hilarious. They told me that he smokes Black and Milds.
Butch.
I would love to imagine that's true, just in my head.
Butch Jones.
Well, it's a nice little
taking down the wine pipe cigar. Man, I hate him.
Nice little Black and Mild.
I'm so
sick of
it. It's
like a wine flavor guy.
Sick of it.
Maybe regular. maybe not. He might go with Jazz.
I feel like he just takes Nick Saban's laundry off, gets the Mercedes washed.
I did see a funny tweet. I did see a funny tweet that said, it looks like Butch Jones has finally passed pledgeship. And he is now part of Frat Saban. He's now got the bump.
Just got
Frat Saban?
He's not a pledge anymore.
Well, you know that Alabama plays those like staff basketball games? Is there a chance that Nick's keeping him around to just put on the other team so Nick will always win?
Oh, maybe he is that much of a psychopath to where winning is that important to him.
Oh, he's apparently like crazy about him.
Yeah. What you got, Bryn?
Houston just sent me a communique that said cherry Swisher sweets.
Oh, that's what he smokes.
That's what Houston says.
Gotcha, cherry Swishers.
Cherry Swisher sweets for Butch.
Yeah, dude. He likes a good swish.
Oh, man, I'm so sick of this guy. God, when are we going to move on?
Baseball.
Okay. That's fun. All right.
Tony V.
Tony V got a big game tonight, huh?
Huge. Huge game.
First real test. It's a tournament.
Yep. The
Round Rock Classic.
You familiar with Round Rock, Texas?
Yes, sir.
Is that close to you?
It's a little, but it's not, you know, just an easy drive away, but it's in the area.
They're at the Dell Diamond tonight.
Dell Diamond. They're taking on the Red Raiders.
Yeah.
Texas Tech.
Yep, Texas Tech. Ranked,
which is a great baseball team, right?
Ranked sixth in the country, according to... D1 baseball, top 25, fourth in the Baseball America poll.
Just a bit outside.
So Texas Tech, good team. Going to be a tough test for the Vols.
Yeah, it will. But it's going to be an exciting one. Is this game televised tonight?
It is going.
It's on some weird network.
It's going to be on Flow Baseball.
Yeah, it's like a YouTube network.
Oh, no. Is this like an Emerald Coast Classic all over again?
Maybe. It's tonight.
Yeah.
Dang it.
Tonight.
Because I want to watch. Like,
8 o'clock.
This is going to be a great game. I would love to see this game and not a just stationary camera from the press box. That stinks.
You talking about that wide angle?
Yeah, that wide angle from the top.
But no.
That wide shot.
They. Going to be a tough test tonight, 8 o'clock, Texas Tech.
Camera one, you're hot. There's only one camera.
Like you said earlier, Rick, in this tournament, you got Houston tomorrow, Stanford on Sunday.
Stanford's ranked, too.
Stanford's 25th in the country, so should have a pretty good idea of how good this team can be after this weekend.
All right, back here on the Blitz. Got about, I don't know, 20 more minutes left in the show, today. Stick with baseball a little bit. Tennessee got a big tournament coming up, but I wanna pose a question to you guys, Major League Baseball related, and you can kind of take this anywhere you want to go. But here's my question that I have: is this cheating scandal, everything revolved around the Houston Astros, is this actually a good thing for baseball? Right? And just in terms of what's the biggest knock been on baseball? That the viewers are you know, falling off, the ratings are going down. A lot of people are just saying you got to find something to make the sport more fun. People aren't, you know, people don't want to sit there and watch these four-hour games. That's always been the knock on baseball. Whether you agree with it or whether you don't, that's just been the issue. Now, I can't remember in my lifetime a more, you know, a more talked about situation in in MLB than what this is. So, in my opinion, like the way that I kind of see it, yeah, this is good for baseball. Think about how many more people are talking about MLB offseason than would have any other, you know, any other year. Think about how many more people are going to tune in for their own games against the Astros, or at least just for Astros game to figure out what happens. Now, maybe it's short term, you know, but I kind of do. I want to start off by saying, yeah, I actually kind of do think this is good for baseball.
How good can it be if your sport requires controversy to be relevant?
Yeah, see, I don't know how great it is as far as like.
Like, I mean, I think for the short term, I think you're right. I think people will tune in.
Yeah, I think people will tune in this season to see, like, when the Astros are on, see how teams, you know, act towards the Astros, see what happens. But I'm not sure, kind of what Brandon said, like, for your sport to need the controversy, that's not necessarily good. Because we've been talking about how bad the MLB markets, any of its star talent, any of its just great teams in general. They just don't market their sport anymore the way that they should to get in younger people. But I don't know if that like just really helps them, because that's going to deter younger people from watching too when they think that a team's just cheating. In the short term, though, first couple months of the season, yeah, ratings probably going to be through the roof, especially for Astros games. People are going to be watching to see how many Astro players are getting beaned, how many times Altuve and Bregman, how many times they take one to the ear hole. Like, teams are going to watch. I'm going to watch for that. I want to see somebody ear hole both of those guys.
Yeah, I do
nothing,
kind of.
Nothing, you know, bad happens to them, but I want to see them both take one in the ear.
I do, too.
Like they should.
I do, too. Poetic justice. Now, I do think that there is a flip side to that, and I think that the people who do hate baseball, the people who already say it's boring and it's not worth watching and all that kind of stuff, you know, certainly, and I've seen this this opinion float around on Twitter. Like, man, I hated it before I even knew that there was a team cheating and rigging the whole thing. Now I'm definitely not going to go watch this league anymore. I mean, obviously, you have the cheaters, you know. I don't really think they're cheating anymore. I don't think anyone's going to be cheating with the amount of just humiliation that the Astros players have received. But I can see that side of the argument as well, even if it's just to play devil's advocate.
You don't – wait, what did you just say? You don't think what?
So I think that there could be, you know, two stances to look at this. Like, I think that the general audience could really be interested by the whole cheating scandal, and that could make people tune in. Or I can see the exact opposite, and I can see that the people who didn't like it already, the people who are very critical of how boring it was, how slow it is, you know, I can see them saying basically, you know, man, I didn't like baseball, and that was before I knew that there was a team cheating in it. That was before I knew there were cheaters in it. Now I'm definitely not going to go watch this sport. I really don't care about it.
But you said something about you thought other teams would not be cheating. I think teams would still cheat.
I do too. I think teams are definitely still cheating. They might get better at cheating.
Yeah, that's the key to it all, right? Because every time in history that somebody's been caught cheating, what has it just done? It's just opened the door to a smarter way of cheating, right? So maybe you're right. Like maybe teams do come back and figure out something. Do you think teams are going to be cheating in the same way?
No. No. You can't cheat the same way.
You now know every trick in the book about how to, you know, count the pitches and stuff.
But I mean, come on. I mean, let's get real here. I mean, if you think nobody's cheating, then you're just
Some cheating in baseball is good cheating.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not
like the pitcher, you know, that has the pine tar or like the rosin. If it's cold outside, I'm cool with that. I mean, you don't want him just wild hitting everybody and throwing everywhere else. Like, yeah, go ahead and cheat.
Yeah.
Well, I guess we will figure out how many people will be watching the Astros game. Opening night, they are on ESPN against the Angels.
It's going to be the most watched baseball game in the regular season.
Are they kicking off the whole season, the Astros?
No, but
that's just their first
That's
night?
Just their first game. It's 7 o'clock opening day. So it'll be the primetime opening day. On ESPN.
Yeah.
Fun tidbits and info. You know, the only team who gets a home game every opening day?
Cubs?
Nope.
I'm going to say it's a Southern team?
Nope.
Dang.
Cincinnati Reds.
Oh, yeah. Of course.
Why? Is there, like, a reason for that?
They're the only team. Like, they're like America's team do when it comes to baseball.
I don't know about all that.
Hey.
Chance. America's team of baseball. Who would
apparently
be?
They are. They
who would be America's team for
my
baseball?
My Reds, only team we get a home game every opening day.
Oh, you're a Reds guy?
Yeah.
Huh.
You like the Reds?
No, I like the Nationals.
Oh, it's cool. Yeah, it's cool. If you like the Reds, I'm a lot cooler. But I forgot you like the Nationals. I don't have a problem with the Nationals.
See, I don't have a problem with the Reds.
Now we're friends again.
All right, there we go.
Hey, see, I rooted for the Nationals. Only person during the World Series who picked the Nationals. They all went against the Nationals.
See, I knew
Brandon for obvious reasons, but I was the only one who picked the Nationals.
Can't tolerate him.
Brandon, because he's a Mets
fan. I wouldn't expect Rick to pick the right team.
But. And he's salty. Brandon, not Rick. Brandon. Brandon's team also, if you don't remember, I don't know if you missed this a couple months ago, Brandon's team hired a manager, and then they fired him too pretty much days later.
Yeah, because he was a cheater.
They tried to like make him the scapegoat. Like they said that he was like the leading the charge behind the cheating scandal.
That's what they say.
It kind of looks like he was, all the reports.
We got rid of him, Chance. What do you want from me? What do you want?
Just saying.
We got Luis Rojas. He's going to lead us to the promised land, Chance.
You got Luis Red. Or that's Rojo. Sorry, Rojas.
He's going to lead us to the promised land.
Hey, you can still do it, Chance.
Yeah, it still works, right?
We got to do it.
Hey, the Marlins are going to have a better season than the Mets.
Oh, spare me.
Marlins.
Wow. The Marlins suck.
They have a hot young pitching rotation. They're going to catch fire.
Oh yeah, do they have? They got back to back Cy Young winner Jacob DeGrom. I don't think so.
Hey, tell me if I
can't win with them.
Tell me if I should make a huge bet versus Brandon about overall record.
I like
between
it.
Brandon's
we got Charles.
Mets
Charles,
and my
big baseball
Rangers.
Guy. I can tell. Big baseball
yeah, he is.
Guy.
I think so too. Should I make a bet against Brandon? then I think I'm going to have a better overall record.
I mean, Vegas has the Mets winning more
Your
games.
Your Rangers versus the Mets?
Yeah, the Rangers
Don't
stink.
Do that. Don't do that. Don't do that.
Maybe.
Make the bet.
Hey, we got Corey Kluber.
Do it.
Corey Kluber is ice cold.
I wouldn't do it.
Hey, I'll have to bet with you.
Oh.
See, there is a rule about bets on this show, and here's where things get a little scary. They're not monetary bets.
Right.
Yeah,
they are.
Eat a pepper.
Yeah, eat a horrible pepper. Yeah, our last intern shaved his head. That was a big one.
Wear drag.
He really did that.
I beat the fish on
yeah,
that one, though.
Chance was going to have to wear drag into the show one time.
For one show, yep.
The hot sauce.
The hot sauce.
Ooh. I've been on the end of the bets a lot. Throw it out there.
I had a beard bet one time.
You want to make a Mets Nationals bet?
No.
I'll give you a 5-game buffer.
Ooh.
Wow.
Your projected win total, the over-under is 87.5. Ours is 89.5. I'll give you 5 games.
Let me think about it, and I'll get back to you by the start of the season.
All right, fair enough. Or Monday.
Let me think about it.
Monday.
It's
a good one.
Got to do my research.
It's a good
but
one
I'll take
right
you right now.
No. No, I probably
you,
won't
you're the one
it.
That threw it out.
Yeah,
now you're backing out?
Yeah, I had to consult my people, and my people told me that was probably a bad idea.
It's a bad move.
So I'm carefully pulling
myself
out.
But you threw it out, and I accepted.
The Mets are going to just be chaotic this year.
I did not throw it out.
He asked, was it a good bet? I don't know if he threw it out.
Yeah. I asked Charlie.
Not going to allow that
one
today.
I said, is this a good bet?
We're not going to allow
no,
that
And he said
no,
and I said, okay, then I'm not going to. I didn't look you in the eyes and challenge you. I didn't do it.
You wanted to.
I thought about it.
You're scared.
I questioned it. I pondered it.
You're scared.
Yeah, this is not about me. This is not about you. This is about our team's abilities. My team just not as good right now.
My Metropolitans were built to compete this year.
Your Metropolitans will never even be the number one team in their state. Get out of here. All right, back here on the Blitz. When you hear that music, you know what it means. It means we're wrapping up the show here. Final segment of the Blitz here before Talk Sports, before John, Cody, maybe Cam. I know Cam was in Atlanta yesterday, I think. I don't know if he's back. He might be back. Haven't been in the vestibule yet to find out. But anyways, Talk Sports coming up next. They have a fantastic show, as they always do. But until then, we're going to close out our show, as we always do, with a little bit of If You Haven't Heard. Brandon, take it away.
Well, Rick, if you haven't heard, this is from Darren Rovell. I guess it was yesterday afternoon. A little weird, but we burn a lot of candles at our house, like the smell of candles.
Yeah.
Can't have the house smelling like just whatever. Gotta have good smells.
Can't have a smell like a locker room, dude.
No, you can't.
So this is from Darren Rovell. McDonald's to sell limited edition 6-pack of candles that smell like quarter pounder ingredients.
Oh, no.
You want me to read you the candle scents?
Please. Oh, this is bad.
The first one.
Oh, I hope it's
sesame
not.
Seed bun.
Sesame seed bun?
Scent two, ketchup.
Just tomatoes. Somebody just smashed tomatoes in your living room. Way to go.
Scent three.
Okay.
Onions.
No. What?
Onions.
What?
Yeah.
An onion candle?
Yes.
Gross. Wait, real quick. Whose Twitter is this? Because I want to follow along with you.
Darren Rovell.
I want to see this picture.
Darren
okay,
Rovell.
Continue.
And like I said, it was from yesterday.
Okay.
Scent number four, 100% fresh beef.
Oh.
Beef scented candles.
Oh. Oh, no.
Next.
Okay.
Pickles.
No, pickles.
Pickle scented candles.
The pickle candle.
Yeah, the pickle candle.
Oh, God.
And then lastly, your last candle, cheese. The cheese candle.
Just cheese.
Who would buy these?
Cheese.
Would you buy? Did you say that they have a French fry scent?
No, it's just.
I would rock with the French fry.
It's just the components of the quarter pounder. It's just the sesame seed bun, ketchup, onions, beef, pickles, cheese.
Sesame seeds, dude.
You put them all together and
light if them? You if you light all of them at the same time, maybe that's the key. Maybe that's the key. You got to light them all at the same time. Just kind of
so
sit them around
have
in a circle.
Greasy burger smell. You use the candle so that you don't have the greasy burger smell because you bring home the quarter pounder at 11 p.m. at night.
I'd rather have the greasy burger smell than a candle.
What? You're not getting the right candles. You need to come over to our house. We're
greasy
the king
burger
of candles.
Smells delicious.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I like the smell of a good fast food joint, right? You like that greasy. But not in my home, not in my humble abode, not where I lay my head to sleep at night. I want it smelling like marshmallows, like Santa Claus's cookies. That's what I want.
What's the best smelling of these? Like, if you could only have one, if you had to have one.
The bun, because I gotta think it's the most odorless. I don't want...
Like, onions is the worst, right?
Yeah.
Nobody's picking the onion candle.
Yeah, onion's bad, and I think that the tomatoes would be so strong. Like, I think the ketchup would be the most pungent of the smells.
I don't know. What about the beef?
Dude, what about cheese?
Remember what that? About remember just... that vine? I smell like beef. I smell like beef. That's what that candle is. It's the candle. Whenever you light it. That's the candle scent.
You light the wick. I smell like beef.
Yep.
And then just poof, yeah. Flame.
Yep, that's it. It can't be a good scent. Maybe cheese. I feel
oh
like cheese.
My God.
I feel like you go with cheese.
I don't know, dude. The
ketchup.
The cheese grosses me out. The ketchup, it all grosses me out. Wow. Maybe, hey, maybe you got someone special. Maybe you got their birthday coming up. Go ahead and get them the Quarter Pounder candle collection. We'll see you back tomorrow, 10 a.m.
No, you won't.
No,
Saturday.
I won't be here.
Oh. See you back Monday, 10 a.m. For all the boys, this has been The Blitz, Fan Run Radio.